So the other day I was in my kitchen and my husband said, you know, this whole NFT thing's pretty cool, but have you thought anything about the whole tax situation? And I said, oh my God, I hadn't. Luckily for us, we have a guest today who's going to drop some knowledge on some things we need to consider with tax time and NFTs.
Look, are you interested in investing or collecting NFTs, but are overwhelmed with all the information? Heather and I, we're true NFT newbies. We're going to break it down as we're learning, as we wander unafraid into the world of digital art.
Listen, y'all, we're going to cure you of your FOMO, mildly educate you, and give our unqualified opinions, and hopefully have a lot of laughs along the way.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to NFTs for Newbies. I'm really happy. And our guest is actually very happy to be here as well, because he doesn't have to necessarily talk about financial independence, which is your niche, by the way, Brad. Actually, can you give us a quick introduction?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first off, thank you both for having me here. This is should be fun. And it's very exciting. Real quick, I am Brad Barrett. I actually am the co-host of the Choose FI podcast, which is Choose Financial Independence. So yeah, we've been around for about 5 years now. We have, top 25 in the business category, usually plus or minus 50 million downloads, that kind of thing. So it's grown pretty significantly. And yeah, the cool thing is that I am an NFT newbie. So this is super exciting for me. I've been in this world for about 5 months and just really getting the hang of it. I am a CPA by trade, but I'm full-time with Choose FI now. So I'm not technically active with accounting, but obviously I keep up on it.
Yeah, so let's get the disclaimers out of the way. Like, what disclaimers need to be made before we have this conversation?
Yeah. It's funny. I actually wrote, for the first time, I wrote a bunch of little random. So obviously, this is not financial advice. I'm not your accountant. I am an accountant, but I am not yours. So I would highly, highly suggest speaking with someone personally. This kind of stuff, as we all know, with crypto and NFTs, things change all the time. So I'm going to do the best of my ability as of today to get you the information that I believe to be accurate, but things could always change. So I'm keeping up on this. You guys should keep up on this, and everyone listening should keep up on it.
I want to kind of kick off, and I already warned him, everybody, like some of the things we're going to talk about, but that some of it's super basic, but
all of it.
If you don't own a business and you're not used to estimated tax payments, and all you really know is like, at some point at the end of the year, I need to get my stuff together and do something for the state and federal thing. And I just got to give people money and hopefully I get a refund, or I've been giving money the whole year and now hopefully I get a refund. That's basically the simplest way people conceive this. But now the NFT train all of a sudden yields you potential massive amounts of income. And it's probably a foregone conclusion that like that excitement has overrated any thought of tax. So let me ask this to start. Like, why do we have to pay taxes on NFTs, or what's transpiring with our interaction with
why? Oh, why? Yeah. So, I mean, what a great question. So, yeah, a lot in there, Rich, obviously. We need to separate income and gains, and there are terms like unrealized and realized. You know, we'll get into all that in the next 15, 30 minutes. So, but in general terms, let's forget that it's an NFT. Okay. It's just, let's pretend we're buying a share of stock or a mutual fund. It's, you're buying an asset. Okay. And you're buying that for a certain price. And that's known as your basis. Okay. So that's the price that you bought it for. Now, if that asset goes up in value and you sell it, the difference basically, and there's always little nuance, but basically the amount that you sell it for, all of that is not your gain. It's the sales price less your basis, what you bought it for. So real simple, let's say you bought a share of stock for $100. It went up 10 years later to $300 and you sell it, right? So you have $300 now in your bank account. You don't owe $300, certainly, of tax, obviously, right? You don't even have $300 of income. You have $300 of, I guess, money deposited into your bank account less the $100 of basis in this scenario. So you have a $200 gain.
And
that goes onto your, Right. And that's such a crucial, crucial point.
Able to do that,
so
math.
Like, nice. Well done. Well done. Public math, as the guys from My First Million say, it's always a little dicey to do public math. But so yeah, just really simply, you know, then that $200 gain would go onto your tax return. And because you held that stock for years, it's long-term capital gains, which you get actually really preferential positive tax treatment. So it's only a 15%, depending on your income, it would be 15% tax that you'd owe on that. So $30 in this scenario. Now, NFTs, obviously that's why we're here, right? Is NFTs are the exact same thing as of now, the treatment. So it's, you're buying an asset, okay? It's a digital asset, but it's an asset nonetheless. And you're buying it for a certain price. That's your basis, right? And if it goes above that, and let's say you hold on to it, right? So you bought something for one ETH and it mooned, right? It's worth 40 ETH today, but you still hold on to it, right? we're all thrilled with that, but you're holding on to it, right? That is an unrealized gain, okay? So you have not realized the gain until you sell it. So that 39 ETH gain that's unrealized, you don't owe tax on that yet. You don't have to report it to anybody. It just, it's on your books as an asset.
Okay? Everybody hold on to their NFTs. Don't get cashing out.
That's another, right? That's another reason to potentially hold here. So, so that is really important. A lot of people think, oh no, everything went up in price. I'm going to have to sell things to pay the tax on it. No. That's not how it works at all. Okay. It's only in this case of the NFT, it's only upon sale. Now, obviously, if it goes up, again, you take whatever your sales price is. Let's use this ridiculous example of 1 to 40, right? Or not so ridiculous,
it's
I guess,
not but so ridiculous, you know, right?
in some world. Yeah. So let's say you sold it for 40 and you had transaction fees, right? There's, you know, let's say we're doing it in ETH and on OpenSea for argument's sake, right? So you pay 2.5% to OpenSea. You might pay 7.5% to the original creator. So let's say you have 10% fees, right? So that's actually deducted, which is nice. You don't pay tax on that. That's not part of your gain. So you would have your 40 ETH in terms of your sale price, less that 10%, right? That I just said, the 2.5 and the 7.5. So that's 10% of 40 is 4, right? So you're actually now down to 36 ETH as your really your net proceeds, let's say. And then we're saying we bought that originally way back when, whenever that way back when was, could be months, could be a year or whatever, could be years. That's your basis. So you have your 36 minus your 1 is a 35 ETH gain in that scenario. Now, that is what ultimately has to wind its way onto your U.S. tax return, right? We're talking about U.S. tax here. That's another caveat that I didn't give you guys at the outset. But so that 35 ETH gain has to make its way onto your tax return. Obviously, you can't put an ETH amount on your tax return, so that has to somehow be translated into U.S. dollars. But you know, I think that's kind of how we need to think about this, right? So it's what you bought it for is the basis, what you sell it for, but all those fees that you pay, you get to deduct this. So that's really important. And now naturally, sorry to keep talking, you know, endlessly here. I know you have questions, Heather. I talked over you, but, you know, yeah, I know it's a lot, but I think really my most important point, and I haven't said this yet, but is just keep records. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard when, you know, potentially, I don't know about you guys, but I'm dabbling. I have sub 100 NFTs in total. I know that might make me an amateur, but, you know, I've only sold one or two. It's pretty easy for me to keep records at that point. But what I would say is, regardless of whether you're somebody like me or you're in deep on this, do what you can to keep records now.
Yes.
And this would be my financial advice just in general, especially when it comes to taxes. Like, it's so hard after the fact to scramble. Like, it's April 14th and you have to get all your info to your accountant, right? And like, to scramble and go back and get all the records, get all the details, and like, and then recreate the wheel, right? On every sale I did, like, you know, comb through Etherscan and OpenSea. I'm like, nobody wants to do that, right? So like, just keep your records as you go if you possibly can. And I know if you guys are cringing, like I'm sure many of your listeners are, like, even if you haven't been perfect now, like just start today or start today going forward, just keeping track of your sales and then maybe see if you can recreate like, hey, what did I do the last month? You know, go through OpenSea and see how many have I sold, you know, and then look back, what did I buy that for? Like, it shouldn't be that hard. Now, naturally, like if somebody has thousands of transactions, you know, there's going to be an electronic answer for this. Like, I'm not saying put this on pen and paper necessarily. And I'm kind of a dinosaur. I put it on Excel or Google Sheets or whatever, but which does the trick, right? It's fine for me. But for somebody who's really in deep on NFTs, which I'm not sure if NFT for newbies is necessarily those people,
nope.
Right?
No.
But there will be an electronic answer for all of us where we can just somehow zip our public address into some type of software and it'll just run everything. That's my full anticipation. I don't have any inside information, but I fully expect that to be the case.
So in the show notes, we're going to link up a super informative tweet that you put out, Brad. Thank you so much for that. That I think goes into a little bit of this as well. But I know in it, you mentioned this, you know, idea of the importance of keeping a really good record. And I wanted to know if you could just kind of break down on that spreadsheet, because I'm an Excel girl too, man.
Nice.
What should I be including on that?
All right. Awesome. So yeah, I think at the very least, what you need to do is when you purchase an NFT, you should jot down the date that you purchased it. Because again, I mentioned before that long-term versus short-term actually will matter when it comes to sales of any type of capital asset. So long-term is just very simply more than a year. Okay. So I know in NFT world, that's an eternity, but you know, in normal assets like stocks and mutual funds and things, it's really nice to get that lower tax rate when you hold something for more than a year. So that might be a decision point, actually, of, hey, it's 11 months since I've owned this. I have to either pay at my ordinary income tax rate, which could be 22, 24, 32% or more, right? Or if I held it until 12 months and a day, basically, it might only be 15%. So something to keep in mind just for life, you know, that's actually a really important thing. So anyway, you would definitely keep the date and you would keep the purchase price. I would do that in ETH, and then perfect world, though in full disclosure, I have not been great at this, is in a perfect world, you can put that into US dollars as well. I think this is kind of like an open question for me, is like, I know that information is available on Etherscan, so you can look at all your transactions and it gives you a point in time. That's pretty useful. I think the open question right now, and in fairness, it's not necessarily an open question. It's maybe more my own opinion. And again, this is not financial advice, but as of today, as of the date we are recording this, October 12th, 2021, when you purchase an NFT, right? So let's say you took US dollars and you bought Ethereum. Okay. You bought ETH at, I don't know, Gemini or Coinbase, whatever. That's not a taxable event at that point, but you now have a basis in that ETH, right? So let's say you bought it for $3,500. We'll just make it super, super round number. You paid $3,500 of US dollars to buy one ETH, okay? Now, let's say that ETH has gone up by $100, so it's worth $3,600. And at the point where you purchase the NFT, so it's $3,600, you bought it for $3,500. In theory, when you quote unquote sell that ETH to buy the NFT, now again, I personally disagree with this treatment. I cannot fathom that this will be the case 10 years from now, but regardless of my stupid opinion, today that's the case. There is actually, that is considered a sale of ETH. Okay. So there is, right, as insane as this sounds, there is a taxable event there. Now, naturally, if ETH went down, that would be a loss, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're not screwed one way and we don't get benefit the other. It's just very simply, are there gains, losses? It's the same with the sale of NFTs. We're presupposing that they always go up, but obviously they don't always go up, right? That's not the way the world works. So you do benefit from losses when you realize them. So anyway, I know I'm giving a lot of detail here and hopefully I'm not losing people, but there is a taxable transaction when you purchase the NFT. So in theory, you have to keep in mind, what did I buy that ETH for? And then what was it at the time I sold the ETH, quote unquote, and bought the NFT, okay? So we're at that point. Now, I've got I just bought this NFT, and now my basis in that NFT is exactly what I just paid for it, obviously, right? So in this scenario, it's $3,600. We'll go back to USD now. I think it might be more illustrative since we're talking about, you know, a United States tax return, right? So I bought this for $3,600 and I hold it for, let's say, 6 months, okay? And then I sell it for $4,000, again, net of all those fees. Now I've got my $4,000 less the $3,600 basis. I've got a $400 gain. So I report that on my tax return. But then I sold another NFT for a loss, and it was a $500 loss. Okay. You actually stack all of those. You offset your gains with your losses, which is nice. So you do get the benefit of that. So that's why all of your sales, not just your gains, this is not income. Like a lot of people think income and they think like, oh, our regular W-2 paycheck, right? Like our normal income. It's not like that. This is a sale of a capital asset. Okay. So you get the gains and the losses.
I want to say something really quick. I mean, and it's funny because I'm thinking about, you're on Twitter, obviously, and that's how we found you. And the amount of activity, I only exist on Twitter to just keep up with NFT stuff because like Discord is like, kill me. Like I can't. So I keep up with things on Twitter, but the amount of activity and people saying I sold this for this, or I just bought one of these, or check out this mint, or check out this drop. I could see how, because it's, I don't want to say it's a wild, wild west, but because there's some things that are not yet in place, how people who are in, you know, really, really enjoying this new mania could probably find themselves in a lot of trouble because they're not thinking of this. Well, they're looking at it as gains in their head, not the financial term, but there's things that are going to come on the backside of this. And there's not, like you said, a W-2 that's going to arrive in your mailbox, be like, hey, by the way, we took care of everything for you. Here's the numbers you give to your Hewlett-Packard person, or Hewlett-Packard. What am I? What is it? Is it Hewlett-Packard? Who is it? Is that what it's called? Whoever the
Your HR, are. Jackson your Hewitt. Human resource, man.
Jackson Hewitt, there.
Oh, Jackson Hewitt. I'm like,
well, whoever. Yeah. And here's my document from the NFT world, and I'm supposed to give this to you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to happen. No. So what is your thought on all the activity? This is not like having a pair of Michael Air Jordans, the first ones, and selling those 20 years later and having one big sale. This is sale after sale after sale, and people flipping and flipping and flipping. What is your thoughts on the risk
there? Yeah. My thought is that's scares the heck out of me just from my own like conservative, you know, financial basis. Like, not that I think anybody's going to get thrown in prison or anything like that. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. It just, I mean, more from like a record keeping perspective, like that's the way my mind goes is like, how are you going to do this? You know, I think to your point, the onus is on, it's on the taxpayer to do the best they can in good faith. Okay. Now, naturally, somebody who is making millions of dollars flipping NFTs and is not reporting their income, they deserve every bad thing that's coming to them, right? Like, I would not suggest that for anybody at all. I think, you know, this is going to be very, very hard for a lot of us to put together, but you do the best you can. You report the absolute best you can. You know, Rich, I can't speak to that person who's, right, who's flipping tens of thousands of NFTs. I think the obvious answer is there is going to be a technological solution for this. There has to be, right? Like, almost by definition, I know there are companies in the background working on this, and there will be something that they'll just get a report. So, you know, that said, most people, I think the substance of your question is, do people even know that they have to do this? Or are they going to just say, oh, this is the wild, it's crypto, right? Like, I've heard so many people, like, you know, I'm pretty new to Twitter, which why I have like sub 3,000 followers, but this is my first kind of viral tweet storm. But like, I've heard so many people say like, oh, it's crypto, you can do whatever you want. The world doesn't work that way, my friend.
Hey y'all, we try to keep these episodes right about 15 minutes and we're already over. So we're going to go ahead and put this into two parts. So make sure you tune in a couple of days for part two of this conversation.